Next up, we'll have Dr. Will Cobb, who's going to talk about traditional laparoscopy. Is there still a place for that? After hearing Igor's talk, we'll see what Will can tell us about that. Appreciate your help with that computer there.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate the invite from you and Fred, and thanks to all the participants for their attendance. So my job after that very nice presentation is to talk about where does laparoscopy still fit into all of this. And I would still argue that there is a role in traditional ventral hernia repair. These are my disclosures. None of these should be pertinent to my talk. And my hope is to briefly review the advantages of laparoscopic ventral hernia repair, which Igor touched on briefly, talk about some of the drawbacks to laparoscopy, which do exist, but then identify the situations where a laparoscopic approach can certainly be beneficial in the management of some of your complicated incisional hernias. A lap ventral hernia, long track record, been around for many, many years. It certainly has a very acceptable recurrence rate, low morbidity rate. But recently, with the allure of the robot, with all the fancy component separations, particularly when you see what you can bill for some of those, laparoscopy sort of taken a back seat, if you will. But I still think it has a role, and we'll go over that briefly. The advantages to lap ventral, again, because of the visualization, because of minimal access, it's a very nice way to assess the entire abdominal wall without having to make a large incision. I think it's probably one of the most accurate ways to appropriately measure the defect and size your mesh accordingly and orient your mesh over the defect, certainly better than you can in an open repair. As Igor touched on, the thing that consistently comes up with any minimally invasive approach is the reduced incidence of wound and mesh complications that you certainly see with robotics and laparoscopy. When you look at the data in series now that are approaching 1,000 and over 1,000 patients, you can see a consistent recurrence rate of less than 5%, very low wound infection rate. And you have to look at those papers, you know, they try to hide it as cellulitis or drainage from the wound. But if you add those up, the very low rates of any sort of wound events. And then, of course, getting back to the whole concept of mesh infection, incredibly low with a laparoscopic approach. Obviously, the concerns, it is a painful repair because of the transabdominal fixation, which I think a lot of folks now have gotten away from. The tack fixation can also be uncomfortable initially after the repair as well. This concept of a bridge repair, you know, we've certainly learned from our robotic counterparts, and you can close a lot of these smaller defects now laparoscopically as well, which really lends this repair to more smaller diameter defects. And then placing the mesh inside the abdominal cavity, there are some concerns even with the nice barrier meshes that we have. This is one of the few papers that really highlights the fact that, at least initially, the laparoscopic repair is more uncomfortable than the open repair. This was data out of the Carolinas Medical Center, Todd and his group, showing that at the six-week mark, you had more activity limitation and a higher pain score in the laparoscopic group versus the open, but at 12 months, it all essentially washes out. Functionality, you know, there's a lot of talk of reconstructing the abdominal wall and reestablishing the patient's function. Of course, that means different things for different patients, but you take that as you will. But there is a lot of concern and a lot of consideration now given to reestablishing the linea alba. And certainly, much like our orthopods reconstruct tendons with a little bit of physiologic tension, we should probably translate that and try to reestablish the linea alba where possible. Again, size of the fascial defect, I think we've learned over time that the days of sewing multiple pieces of mesh in, bringing them laparoscopically, and spanning these, you know, 12, 15 centimeter wide defects is probably not beneficial to the patient, particularly from a mesh eventration standpoint. But the smaller defects, certainly, if you can close those, particularly in that patient with a little bit of extra padding and a relatively small defect, you know, you could argue rather than submit that person to an open repair, a laparoscopic approach where you essentially close that defect and place a patch. The defect closure has been described for actually some fairly sizable defects. This is a technique that Yuri Novitsky described when he was at Case Western. It's sort of that shoelace repair where you just pass interrupted figure of eight sutures, desufflate the abdominal cavity, and reapproximate that defect if you so feel necessary. And when you look at, is there benefit to this? There's a recent meta-analysis looking at 16 studies with over 3,600 patients. You can see the majority of the patients in that series, the defect was closed. Less wound events and less seroma formation in the patients that had the fascia closed. But interestingly, no difference in recurrence or pain in the closure group versus the group that was left bridged. Uri has more recently published this, and he shared this data with me, his single site looking at 222 patients where he closed the defect versus 561 where he did not. You can see it a little over a year. Surgical site occurrences, seromas, and even recurrence in his series were all less when the defect was closed. So, you know, maybe there is something to closing these defects, certainly from a seroma and a wound morbidity standpoint. Placing the mesh intraperitoneal, again, one of the drawbacks to the laparoscopic approach, even with the nice barrier meshes that we have. I think certainly now in my practice, I consider patients less than 50. The likelihood of them needing a second laparotomy for a colon procedure or potentially having their gallbladder removed. So I do give more consideration to placing mesh intraperitoneal. Igor talked about this study from Mary Hahn and her group, looking at the predictor of unplanned enterotomy or bowel resection. The only predictive factor in someone who had a previous hernia was intra-abdominal mesh. This study didn't really tell which types of mesh because it was a database study, but still, having a previous intra-abdominal mesh repair does impact that. We looked at our own data in our laparoscopic series, and the incidence of subsequent abdominal operation is 17%, so not insignificant. Now, the majority of those folks went back for a recurrent repair, but still, having to reoperate on these patients is not out of the realm of possibility, so that does need to be considered. So I think the role of laparoscopy, largely based on the review of the data, and particularly the fact that you have such a low wound and mesh infection risk, is in those patients you can't mitigate the factors. It's easy to say, oh, we'll just make them lose weight. Well, if their BMI is 60, you know, so they drop 100 pounds. Now their BMI is 48. You know, congratulations. They still have a long way to go. And I think if they're symptomatic, if you can't get them to quit smoking, in the Southeast, it's kind of hard. I think probably the only thing more difficult to get them to lose weight is to get them to stop smoking as well. And so in those patients that are symptomatic, I think the laparoscopic repair gives you an option to mitigate some of the morbidities and the wound complications that come along with that. The smaller defects, certainly more minimal to the laparoscopic repair. And this thought of an emergent case, you know, if someone comes in the middle of the night with a relatively small defect with incarcerated bowel, can you deal with that laparoscopically? In our patient series, when we look at comorbidities preoperatively, you can see the shift, and this is from our AHSQC data. In our laparoscopic intraperitoneal group, you can see we take care of more obese patients than we do in our open repairs, essentially the same level of smokers, but more diabetics. And so we do shift more of these high-risk patients to laparoscopic repairs. Specifically talking about the obese patients, when you look at the series that have carved out the obese population, you can see here, you know, more complications typically surrounding seromas and things like that, but the recurrence rate usually acceptable. Of course, Mike Rosen's series, he's an outlier in a lot of ways other than just this study, but you can see that he stands out with 20%, but the other ones are typically less than 5. When you look at a single series comparing BMIs greater than 40, higher in the obese patient population, but still very respectable for a very complicated patient series. When you compare laparoscopic repairs versus open for obese folks with BMIs greater than 30, I point out the wound complications, again, significantly lower in a minimally invasive laparoscopic approach. This concept of emergent repairs, again, we've all been there before, you know, relatively small defects. I think a lot of times it doesn't hurt to at least take a look laparoscopically when you get the patient relaxed. And a lot of times external pressure you can reduce, assess the bowel, and then decide whether or not you're going to proceed with the intraperitoneal mesh placement. I don't think Igor's robot team is available at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, but maybe they are. When you look at a recent series, NISQIP review of all emergent ventral hernia repairs, not a lot had laparoscopy utilized, but in those patients that did have laparoscopic repairs, consistently demonstrated decreased operative times, length of stay, surgical site infections, and 30-day mortality when compared to an open series of emergent repairs as well. So I still think laparoscopy plays an important role in ventral incisional hernia repair, consistently demonstrates less wound and mesh infectious complications. And again, the folks, you just can't mitigate the complications for whatever reason, particularly if they're symptomatic. I think laparoscopy is a nice approach for those patients. And then it may have advantage for emergent incarcerated hernias. Thank you very much for your attention.